We've been talking about a lot about the state of the Chicago Bulls roster and what needs to happen for the Bulls to move over to the next phase. We've even talked so much as what needs to happen for the Bulls to be a free agent destination. On today's episode, I want to have some fun. Let's talk about what three members of the Chicago Bulls would have to do to become all-stars in next season. We'll take a look at that. Plus, Joe Kelly has a great article written on Matas Buzelis and his upside. And we'll talk about why the reporting for Josh Giddey is really all over the place. We're about to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to have a fun topic today, right? Like, a lot of times we can get so analytical here and what's going on with the Bulls, breaking down, you know, stats and things like that, that I want to have just a fun topic. And one of the more fun things to talk about is how the Chicago Bulls can get an all-star on their team. And I think, you know, when you look at it, I've identified three players that I think have the best chance to be all-stars for the Chicago Bulls. Now, I am in no way saying that it's likely these guys become all-stars for the Bulls, but I do think that these are the guys that have the best chance to be all-stars this year. And so I wanted to look at this and start this off by first, you know, comparing these players to other ones. And I think when you look at the three players that we chose, they each have a different way that they can get there. Kobe White, Josh Giddey, Matas Buzelis. Those are the three players that I chose here as the most likely for different ways. Kobe and Josh are very different in how they would have to get there. But for that, we'll explain that as we go through the episode, right? So the one that I think has the most likely pathway to become an all-star is Kobe White. And not to say that, again, that Kobe is likely to be an all-star, but I do think when you look at the path that he has to get there, there is something that you can make a case for. As a scorer, it becomes a little bit easier to make the all-star team. And I think that's the route that Kobe would have to do to get there to be an all-star in this year. When you look at some players that were all-stars last year at that guard position, for example, right? Dame Lillard, 24.9 points per game. Kyrie Irving, 24.7 points per game. On top of that, Jalen Brunson, 26 points per game. Tyler Hero, 24 points per game, basically, you know, when it came down to that for him. Trae Young, 24 points per game. So I think for Kobe White to even be in the conversation to be an all-star in the 2025-26 season, which again, it'd be the 2026 all-stars because the all-star game happens in February, I think that that's the first thing. Kobe White would have to average 24 points per game at a bare minimum since from the beginning of the season. Not these spurts where Kobe White gets hot and gets cold, things like that. Kobe White would have to be a 25 point per game score from the start of the season, meaning from month one all the way leading into the end of January. That's about where Kobe White would have to be. Now, when you look at the start of Kobe White's season last year, for example, in the month of October, he averaged 19 points per game. In the month of November, he averaged 18 points per game. In the month of December, he averaged 17 points per game. Then he didn't start getting over to 19 consistently until the end of the season. And then, of course, in March, where he averaged 27 points per game and 22 points per game in the month of April, Kobe White would have to start off averaging 25 points per game to get there. Keep in mind, Kobe White, for what it's worth, was the 31st leading scorer in the NBA last year, which being top 30 is pretty damn good. But, you know, to be an all-star, you have to be more than that. Now, the players that were primarily scorers that got in there, they got in there in a different way as well, right? Like Kobe, the 4.5 assists per game are actually pretty in line with where most players that were scorers and how they got into it, right? So you look at Donovan Mitchell, for example, 5 assists per game, really solid there, you know, as far as that. Tyler Hero, 5.5 assists per game. Jalen Williams as a guard, 5 assists per game, 21 points per game. Jalen Brunson, 7 assists per game, right? Him, of course, and Trae Young averaged the most assists at that. Even Kyrie Irving, 4.6 assists. So 25 points, 5 assists at the bare minimum is probably what you're looking at for Kobe White to get into that. Now, he also averaged 3.7 rebounds per game. I think as a guard, that's perfectly area for him to do that in. And for Kobe, the shooting percentages aren't that far off for most all-stars either. 37% from three-point range last season. That's solid enough. That's going to get you there. The 45% from the field goal percentage, that's solid enough. That's going to get you there if you're averaging 25 points per game. So, Kobe, now we don't know what that role is going to be, but as a scorer, Kobe White's going to have an opportunity to get in there, but he is going to have to be on point with scoring from the start, from day one of the season, leading into the All-Star break. And this is a season where, you know, if you're looking for Kobe to do that, this is probably the best season to bet on that. One, he's going to have the same role that he had to finish off last season for the first time in, God, maybe his whole career, where he's coming into the same exact role that he finished off the season with. So that's important. Health, of course, is going to be important. We'll say that for everybody. But I think when you look at the fact that, now Dame not playing, Kyrie, even though he was in the West, but he's not going to be there either. There's an open opportunity for another guard to get in there. Tyler Hero, I don't think, even though Tyler Hero was an All-Star last year, that it's somebody who can't be passed up. That's going to have to be the path that Kobe White's going to have to use if he wants to get into that. It's going to have to be being an efficient scorer from day one of the season and keep everything else roughly about the same as what it was last year. You get up to 25 points per game, and doing that, I think that's going to get you some votes. Now, a thing that we can't really speak to too much here is the national television part of it, because the fan vote does matter into this as well. We don't know how many national televised games the Bulls are going to have. It's probably not going to be a lot. So therefore, Kobe's going to really have to do some of the highlight reel stuff that gets him in highlights on ESPN, that gets him on those type of things that kind of the more casual fans can buy into. When you really look at it, last season, there are only 16 players in the NBA that averaged over 24 points per game. And so if Kobe can get into that 25 area, when you look at the 25, there are only 10 players in the league that averaged over 25 points per game. Kobe White can get to 25 points per game. I think that that's a pathway for Kobe White to become an All-Star next season for the Chicago Bulls. Let me know what you guys think on that down below. Now, I already know there are some people, especially my Josh Giddy stans that listen to the show, were saying, well, Hayes, why do you think Kobe White has a better chance than Josh Giddy to get into being an All-Star? And I think it comes down to, Josh Giddy's play style. So that's the next player we're going to talk about. Well, how can Josh Giddy, at then 23 years old, he'll be 23 years old, by the next All-Star game, become an All-Star? And I think when you look at Josh Giddy, it's a mixture of all the things that he brings together, as well as some of the perceived limitations of him that would hurt him from being able to get in there. Josh Giddy finished the season over the last couple of months averaging basically a triple-double. Over 20 points, 10 rebounds, almost 10 assists, almost a triple-double. I think that would be asinine for me to expect Josh Giddy to average a triple-double. If he does, great. But I'm not going to go into something expecting that. That's a bit much to expect from a player. But I think if you're looking at Josh Giddy, I think that you're looking at, with his unique, because he's not a scorer. He can score, but he's not some huge scorer, right? So I think if you're looking at Josh Giddy getting there, a more legit path, I think you got a bare minimum 18 points per game and 10 assists. I think Josh Giddy would have to be one of the leading assist guys in the league, as well as at least scoring 18 points per game to get in there in the All-Star. This isn't what it used to be, where more traditional point guards were more plentiful, and therefore, you know, those guys that had those assist numbers, those savants would get you in there. It's not really that. But the reason why I'm focusing in on that 10 assist mark, when you look at it, there are only four players in the NBA last season to average over 9 assists per game for the entire season. And all those players were All-Stars. Trae Young at 11, Nikola Jokic at 10, Tyrese Halliburton at 9, Cade Cunningham at 9. You need all those players, in my personal opinion. You need to average, for the type of player that Josh Giddy is, you need to average that 10 assists. I think that 10 assist mark alone, with at least 18 points per game, which we know he's capable. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot in the Chicago Bulls offense. And we know that ideally Josh Giddy would be the first to tell you he doesn't need to score a lot to be effective. But I do think we're still going to be calling on him to score quite a bit as well. And I think that that's the thing that could get Josh Giddy in. If Josh Giddy averages, and we already know he's going to have at least 8 or 9 rebounds per game, he's still going to be one of the better rebounders on this team next year. If Josh Giddy is near 18 points, 10 assists, and at least 7 to 8 rebounds, which, again, I think that that's easy for Josh Giddy to get. I think he's going to get that 7 to 8 rebounds pretty easily. If Josh Giddy is close to averaging a triple-double from the start of the season, much like with Kobe White, it can't be these spurts. It can't be this hot spurt 1 month to another. Josh Giddey would have to take advantage of the fact that he's coming into the season with the Chicago Bulls, being the starting point guard, knowing his role from day one. He would have to take advantage of that and leverage that into starting off the season hot. If you can do that, if Josh Giddey can do that, that's where I think Josh Giddey can be an all-star next year. As I said, he's only had 1 year of his NBA career where he averaged less than 7 assists. And when you look at that, it's been closer to 8. 7.8, 7.9, 8 last season for the Bulls. I think the 7 or 8 assists are there. I mean, 7 or 8 rebounds. I'm sorry, those were rebounds, not assist numbers. As long as he's there with...
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
The rebounds, the other two things, they got to be there. 18 points, 10 assists. You get to that. If Josh Giddey's averaging 10 assists for you just to start the season off, he's going to get in there as an all-star. I don't care how you feel about Josh Giddey. Those are going to be numbers that can get him in there in those all-star votes. But much like with Coby White, Josh Giddey's going to have to do that consistently. And the consistency matters even more because the Bulls aren't going to be on national TV a lot. So they got to get in there a little bit more in doing those things. And I think that's going to be important for the Chicago Bulls. So let me know what you guys think down below. Not if, but what would Josh Giddey have to do, in your opinion, to be an all-star next year and be reasonable with it? But let me know what you guys think on that down below. The last player is Matas Bouzelis. Now, Matas is going to have a difficult call for, but the reason why I put Matas Bouzelis on this list, as far as I didn't just focus on Coby White and Josh Giddey, is because there are times where the hype around a player can get them into being, now you still have to have a certain level of production, but the hype around a player can propel a player to get into that all-star. And I think when you look at Matas Bouzelis, on top of the Bulls putting him everywhere, the NBA has also used him. When you look at their the analysts that they use, the correspondents that they use in the finals, and the fact that one of those was Matas Bouzelis, I think that there's a pathway to that. Now, you look at all-stars, not every all-star has a crazy amount of stats. Now, most of them do, but not every all-star does that. Now, of course, Matas is more likely to be in whatever version of the Rising Stars competition that they use next year. That's the most likely path for Matas Bouzelis. But with Matas being somebody who is on the precipice of taking the keys for the Bulls, I've said it before, he's on the precipice of doing that. I don't think that that happens this season. I think that if it does happen, it happens next season. But for Matas to get there, I think that Matas would have to, at bare minimum, average 20 points per game. On really solid efficiently, Matas would have to be not only take a step defensively, but Matas would have to score on some of the better players in the league. I think when you look at forwards, with the skill set that Matas Bouzelis has, of being able to be more of a point forward, to be able to do these things, that gets you to being, that gets you to a lot of opportunity to be there. Again, he's going to be hurt a little bit, well, hurt a lot of bit, because the Bulls probably aren't going to be on national TV a lot. And so, therefore, the casual fan, if they're not a Bulls fan, how much are they going to realistically see Matas Bouzelis, I think, is a fair question here when it all comes down to it. But Matas, the hype around Matas being in an opportunity, especially with playing somebody like Josh Giddey. I just talked about Josh Giddey averaging 10 assists per game. If he does that, I think a large chunk of that. Matas Bouzelis was the fourth most assisted player by Josh Giddey last year. He was behind players like Zach LaVine, right? It was Zach LaVine. First, it was Nikola Vucevic, Zach LaVine, Coby White, and then Matas Bouzelis, right? Zach Collins was somewhere in there as well. When you factor in the fact that now Zach LaVine is gone, the fact of the matter, Matas didn't even play a lot at the start of the season, and he still was one of the most assisted players by Josh Giddey. He's going to be in that starting lineup with Giddey right away. The Bulls are going to try to be this fast break, quick team, which is going to get him more opportunities. So I do think that if Matas Bouzelis can become a 20-point, and I'm not expecting it. I've said it before. I think Matas makes the step up of like 13 to 14 points per game. If we're talking about reality, we're not talking about reality here. We're talking about what needs to happen for him to become an all-star. Two very different things. And I think that you look, he has to average 20 points per game. He would have to average 20 points per game. If you average 20 points per game as a second year player in the NBA, that gets you close to being there, because people are going to be looking at it like, hey, who's this rookie that's doing these type of numbers? Now, it would still have to be decent efficiency. he would still have to step up in the big moments, meaning that there's going to have to be some big shots that he hits and big opportunities he takes advantage in. It's a long shot. But the hype around Modest, the way that the Bulls are putting Modest in their own media things, the way that the NBA has also used Modest Bouzelas in some media things, it's a little bit of a sliver that can get him in there. But and to get him in there, it's going to have to be through him having the big type performances. So that's what I think would have to happen with Modest. Again, it's a very big long shot for Modest Bouzelas to get in there, and we'll see what happens there. But you guys can let me know. Let me know what you guys think down below about each three of these players. What would they have to do to become all-stars in the 2025-26 season? Who do you see has the most likely path to being an all-star in 2025-26? Let me know that down below. While we're talking about Modest Bouzelas, though, Joe Cowley had a great article on Modest Bouzelas and talked about Modest. Like, the way that Cowley kind of worded it in the blog is that there's a lot of players with potential on the Chicago Bulls, but as of right now, there's one player with the potential to be elite, and that's Modest Bouzelas. Now, we all know the potential that's there in Modest. The sky's the limit for him, really, when you have it. In this article, Joe Cowley pointed out over the last 12 games of the season, 15.8 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1.4 blocks per game, and he shot 53% from the field and a team best 50% from three-point range. Now, I don't expect the 50% from three-point range to maintain. That's not there. But those numbers, I think that those numbers, when we're talking about reality, again, separating ourselves from the all-star conversation, if Modest Bouzelas can average 15.8 points per game this season and five rebounds and just 1.5 blocks per game, that would be a great second year for Modest Bouzelas. And I think that there is that. Now, of course, Joe Cowley goes on to talk about ESPN ranking him fourth in the most interesting sophomores. Again, that goes back to that that hype, that conversation that people around the NBA are taking notice of Modest Bouzelas. And while I talked a lot in the All-Star conversation about the fan vote, the media has a vote in that as well. And it does seem like the media is looking at Modest like, hey, Chicago may have the one in this kid, and they could be paying attention over the course of the year, and you could get that media vote as well when it comes down to it. There's a lot of uncertainty around the Bulls, and Modest Bouzelas is part of that uncertainty. But when you look at him being 6'10", with the wingspan that he has, the all-around skills that Modest Bouzelas has as well, you can very well see how Modest could bring this all together to become a legitimate star for the Bulls. But it's a long way to get there. He still has a lot that he needs to really work on to get there. And I'm just not somebody that's drinking the Kool-Aid in the sense of seeing Modest as the guy that he's ultimately going to become quite yet. There's a lot that he needs to work on, but it's no doubt about it that the potential is there in Modest Bouzelas. How much of that potential does he realize? That's the question there. And we know that he's going to put in the work to get there. And so, you know, the Modest Bouzelas thing is interesting, mainly because it's been a long time since a Bulls rookie has been talked about in the media generally. Like, even Lauri Markkanen, for the rookie season that he had, really the first 2 years of Lauri were pretty damn good. He didn't really get talked a lot about, and that was more because of Zach LaVine being on the team. The conversation his rookie year was more about when Zach LaVine gets back, people were really kind of seeing what Zach LaVine was going to be, being the number one scorer. That happened as well in Lauri Markkanen's second year, and then the turmoil started, right? And then things started kind of going the other direction with the Bulls and Lauri Markkanen, and the focus became Zach LaVine at that point. Modest is getting talked about a lot right now, and that's not to say that the focus can't shift to Kobe or to Giddey or to another player. But you can clearly see that not only is the way that the Bulls are building this team, I'm not saying that it's built around Modest yet, but you can see how Modest's skill set and the potential of what Modest could become at is definitely in the forefront of how the Bulls are thinking through this process. And we'll see what happens there. Modest Bouzelas has a great chance, great potential, great opportunity here with the Bulls. We just got to see if he's going to maximize and capitalize on it. But I have a feeling that we're, like I said, by year three, we're going to be talking about Modest a lot differently, but let me know what you guys think down below on that. Last topic before we get up out of here, Josh Giddey. At this point, everything has been talked about with the Josh Giddey situation. Every possible permutation, whether it's signing trades, whether it's, you know, and it came out yesterday in Brett Siegel's article that the Golden State Warriors are no longer pursuing Josh Giddey. And, you know, I said that when the Jake Fisher report came out. He said that the Warriors reached out, but we don't really know when they reached out. According to Brett Siegel, they've kind of moved on to other things now, so that's not really there for Josh Giddey anymore. And I thought that. It felt like something that maybe the agent floated around that happened, because it probably was a conversation that legitimately happened, but at this point, trying to just push some things along, and that makes some sense, right? Ultimately, it just comes down to this one simple Fact. That's it. Is that nobody knows what the hell is going on with Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls. Nobody knows because, like I said, at this point, everything has been talked about. So you would think that every option, every permutation of a possible deal has been talked about between Josh Giddey's agent and the Chicago Bulls. At this point, you just got to settle on something. I get it. You're probably not going to be happy with the deal. Josh Giddey fans are probably not going to be happy with the deal. We'll deal with the fallout of that as we deal with the fallout because there will be fallout, rightfully so, because of that. But at some point, you just got to get something done and move the hell on. I guess we'll see what that looks like for Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls to finally move the hell on. But that's my time for today, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.